I just want to thank the co-authors of this paper, Calvin Perry, Dana Sullivan, both Kemmer Eid, Richard Davis, George Belidis, Keith Rocker, and our ARC economist, Amanda. As many of you know, root-knot nematode is considered one of the most critical pest problems that the farmers are facing today in Georgia. The control of nematodes, we use nematicides, and this is a common practice between growers, but the cost of nematicides is very high, and we can reduce this cost as well as placement if we target the areas that are at risk for high population of nematodes. In this case, for root-knot nematodes, with the target areas will be the sandy areas. In Louisiana, this type of studies has been done, and they have shown differences in root-knot nematode population as well as yield between nematicide treatments as a function of soil texture. In Georgia, the case is a little bit different because commercial field doesn't show broad differences in soil texture. Our soils are mainly sandy soils, but we have found that the differences are more related with sand particle size. Under this scenario in Georgia, between 2005 and 2006, we developed a methodology for delineation of management zones for site-specific management of root-knot nematodes. But in this year, in 2007, we compared two types of nematicides applied at two different rates and see if we found differences in root-knot nematode population as well as yield. And also, we wanted to compare if those differences were related with the differences in the zones. We have conducted this study in three fields, but today, because of time limitations, I'm going to show results just only from one single field. We, as I said before, we delineated the zones in 2006 based on fuzzy clustering of surrogate soil texture data. In this case, we combine elevation, slope, NDVI that we calculate from bare soil reflectance and soil electrical conductivity, shallow and deep. And this is the map on your left is an example of the three management zones that we delineated, and the colors on the background are the soil electrical conductivity deep. We evaluate, we use a randomized complete block design to evaluate two types of nematicides, in this case, Temic and Telon, applied at two different rates. In this case, Temic, low rate that we call T1, treatment 1, treatment 2, Temic high rate, treatment 3, Telon low rate, treatment 4, Telon high rate. To evaluate these two nematicides these four treatments, we apply these four treatments on 16 rows, and each treatment was applied on four rows. To evaluate these four treatments, we evaluate these four treatments on six plots that we randomly allocate on each one of the zones, as you can see here. These are the six plots where we collected data that become our six replications per zone. And between these six rows strips where we have our treatments, we have a buffer strip where low rate of Temic was applied. We applied Telon 2 weeks before planting and Temic at planting. And we collected soil samples for nematode population determination three times during the growing season, as well as plant height. And we harvest our experiment using a four rows cotton picker with a ARC leader yield monitor. I just want to show briefly the characteristics of these three zones where we test our four nematicide treatments. We have the graphs show the characteristics of each one of the zones with respect to nematode population, soil electrical conductivity dip, slope, and NDVI. As an example, you can see that zone 3, that we call the zone with the highest population nematode, is the zone that will be at risk for high population of nematodes and is characterized by having the lowest values of soil electrical conductivity, lowest slope, and lowest NDVI. The zone number 2 will be the zone with a moderate risk, and zone number 1 will be the zone with a low risk. In 2006, the map on your left showed the spatial distribution of the nematode population that we measured at mid-season in 2006. In this map, you can see that zone 3 that we call with the highest risk level has the highest population density of root node nematode. In 2007, we measured late season root node nematode population on the buffer strip, and you can see that in this map on your right follow the same pattern of spatial variability of the map on your left. So meaning that we validate pretty much the zones that we delineated in 2006. This graph shows the differences in nematode population density between zones and between treatments. We found differences between treatment only in zones 3 and 2, that are the zones with the moderate and high risk level. But we didn't find differences between the treatments in zone 1, that is the zone with the lowest risk for high population of root node nematodes. In zone 2 and in zone 3, we didn't find differences in between tenic rates and telon rates. But we found differences between types of nematicides, meaning that in zone 2 and in zone 3, we found differences between tenic and telon. This graph shows the difference in nematode population density between two rates of nematicides and types of nematicides. If we pay attention to zone number, to the population density of nematode in zone number 2 that corresponds to the orange bars, we found that the highest reduction in population density was when we compare high rate of telon with high rate of tenic. The reduction in high telon compared to low tenic was 56%, and when we compare low telon with high tenic, the reduction in population was 62%. When we move to the zone 3 with the highest risk, the highest reduction in root node nematode population density was when we look at high rate of telon compared with high rate of tenic. Also, we found a high reduction in population density when we compare high telon with low tenic. But also, this is very important, when we move from zones with low risk to zones with high risk, in here, the reduction in population density increase as we move from low risk to high risk between tenic and telon. When we compare the differences in yield, we found differences in yield between zones, we found differences in yield between treatments, and also there was an interaction zone by treatment. The zone 1 with the lowest risk level has the highest yield, and zone number 3 with the high risk level has the lowest yield, but also was the zone with the highest population density of root node nematodes. When we look at the percentage increase in yield between treatments, we found that in zone 1, that corresponds to the blue bars, we found the highest increase increase in yield when we compare high pelon with high penic, and the increase was 219 pounds. When we analyze the percentage increase between treatments with respect to yield in zone 2 that corresponds to the orange bars, we found the highest increase when we compare high pelon with high penic, and this increase was 237 pounds per acre. And we were expecting this increase in yield because we observed a 71% reduction in rootknot nematode population when we compare these two treatments. Also, it's very important to see that when we move, again, from zones with low risk for population, for high population density of rootknot nematode, to zones with high risk for high population density of nematode, we observe an increase in yield due to the pelon application versus tenic application. Now talking about net return, so how much money the farmer is making. The blue bars in this graph corresponds to the average net return per each one of the treatments within zone 1. In this graph, you can see that there were no differences in average net return between treatments within zone 1. In fact, the farmer might lose money if he used low rate of pelon compared to low rate of tenic within zone 1. However, when you look at zones 2 that corresponds to the orange bar and zone 3, the red bar, he's making a little bit of money if we use pelon compared to tenic. You can see here. And there was in zone 1, although there were no differences between treatment, he might realize a very small gain in money if he used high pelon versus low tenic. So in conclusions, there were differences in rootknot nematode population and yield with respect to nematicides across to management zones. In the low risk zone, there were no differences between tenic rates and pelon rates. However, in the zone with the highest risk level, there were differences between types of nematicides, meaning tenic and pelon. And pelon caused the highest reduction in rootknot nematode population in that particular zone, the zone with the highest risk level. When we look at the differences in yield, we observe differences in yield in zones 2 with the moderate risk and zone 3 with the highest risk between tenic and pelon, but not between rates. And pelon was economically prudent in risk zones, but in the lowest risk zone, the farmer might lose money when using low pelon rather than using low tenic. Do you have any questions?
We have a little bit of time for some questions.
When you were defining the risk zones, you factored smoke into the risk category. Why was smoke affect the risk category?
We found that pretty much the flat areas are the areas with corresponds to the areas with coarse texture. So are those areas that has the highest risk for having high population of nematodes. But the factor that has the highest contribution on the delineation of the zones was soil electrical conductivity deep.
Brenda, what software
is called Management Zone Analysis that was developed in Missouri for USDA group in Missouri. Yes, definitely. Definitely, we should use soil electrical conductivity dip to guide the sampling. And also, we found that mid-season samples are the ones that are showing the biggest differences. Initially we were expecting that the late season samples were showing the difference, but we have the 3 years data and it's pretty much mid-season. And definitely, I mean, this is why this type of studies are for, you know.
All right, let's let that be the last question. Thank you.